6. Daniel chapter 6. In the book of Daniel chapter 6, we see where Daniel, of course in chapter 1, he was a youth that was brought into captivity in Babylon. We are told in chapter 2 that Daniel interpreted a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. We come to chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. And now Daniel is much older. He was under the reign of Babylon. And now we're told in chapter 5, in verse 30, and that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It pleased Darius to set, this chapter 6, verse 1, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole reign. Verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much, verse 4, he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, verse 5, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish thy decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled, and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And as a result, Daniel went to the lion's den. Now, this evening, I want to talk about this prayer of Daniel in verse 10. And I have entitled the message, Daniel's Discipline in Prayer. Daniel's Discipline in Prayer. Now, what is a discipline? Because sometimes there are people out there who are actually saying it's legalism to have discipline for your devotions. And that is crazy. Because discipline is something we do to ourselves many times, if we don't have somebody else disciplining us, that we might be able to accomplish a certain thing. According to the dictionary, discipline is a practice to obey rules or a code of behavior. So as a result, we have diets, okay? How many of you like to be on a diet? Isn't there something miserable about that? You know, until you actually get into it and you get into the discipline. Okay, I'm only going to be able to eat certain things, or I'm only going to be able to eat so much, or go to certain restaurants, or go to no restaurants. And it takes discipline to be in a situation where You say, well, I can't eat that. I remember Ron DeGard was with us several years ago, and we took him over to the sirloin buffet. Is that what it used to be called? Stockade, yes. We took him over there, and you know, I thought, well, this would be a nice meal for him. And he said, brother, I just need to let you know I'm on a diet. And I said, well, there's a lot of salad over there, so you can have whatever you want. You know, but that's a discipline. Or what about exercise? You know, it takes discipline to say, okay, I'm going to allow myself to maybe work out, work my arms, work my legs, do some cardio stuff where I'm running or whatever. That is discipline. And it really, in order for you to be effective in those things, you need to have some discipline. Now, what I'm speaking about here is the discipline of prayer. The discipline of prayer. Now, that means that there is going to be a sense in which I am going to make it a practice to make sure that prayer happens, as well as to pray in a way that God would have me to pray. And I appreciate the fact that Patrick continued our study on prayer last week and on how God answers prayer, and I listened to that. I appreciated that, Patrick. But, you know, there's so many aspects of prayer, and to have the discipline of prayer. And we're going to see here in the case of Daniel that he had discipline in prayer. So first of all, number one, I want you to see his habit of prayer. His habit of prayer. Now, we're told that when Daniel, verse 10, knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And here's the key little phrase here. As he did what? Now, don't answer it out loud because some of you aren't looking at a Bible. Look at a Bible. As he did what? Okay. See, I told you don't answer it, and then I said, answer it. Okay, so what do you do with that? You know, so really, so as he did aforetime. Now, I looked that up, and I said, what does that mean? It means what he had done previously. This was a habit of Daniel. And this was obviously a test of his faith when he was being accused of going against the decree that these people set up. And we really do learn a lot about Daniel. I probably spend at least a couple or maybe 3 weeks looking at some prayer principles of Daniel. And it's fascinating when you consider the fact that the prayer ministry of Daniel is a challenging example for us. And we find so many things in the Bible that are given to us by example. And Daniel was that example in the area of prayer. So, now if you notice here, and I want you to see this in verse 10, he had a habit of a prayer time. A prayer time. And it tells us there that he kneeled upon his knees how often? So he was actually taking the admonition of David in Psalm 55:17, where he said, evening and at morning and at noon will I pray and cry unto the Lord, and he shall hear my voice. And we find that he made that a practice. Now, I brought your attention a little bit to the second chapter of Daniel, because obviously Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2, we're told that Daniel and his three friends, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they prayed to interpret a dream. And so this was something they did. We see it here in chapter 6. We're going to see it in chapters 9 and 10 when he's an old man. He practiced this. And if you can imagine how hard that must have been when you are in a position that Daniel is in, and I'm sure many times being challenged or being tempted to not follow through with this evening, morning and noon. But Daniel, as he always did, he made a time for prayer. And I think it's important that we understand a few things. You know, I've been really studying this area of prayer a little bit, and there's a sense in which I go through a method, and I've already explained all of that, and we won't go into that again. But I go through a method. And when I go through a method, my mind wanders, but I try to stay in course with this method. But I'm almost glad when I get through with the method, because now I can really pray. In other words, pray whatever God leads me to pray. Now, I think the one's important, but the other is important as well. And Daniel, when he was praying, he was praying methodically. He was systematic in his praying. And then when the trial comes, man, he prayed. Hebert, in his notes, says, those who have no regular habits of prayer very seldom do much praying. And if you and I are going to be effective in prayer, it's good to be in the habit of praying. Now, I'm not saying that you have to pray three times a day, but whatever your habit is, maybe it's in the morning, or maybe it's in the evening, or maybe it's sometime in the middle of the afternoon, or maybe two of those times, or maybe three of those times. And of course, we should be praying without ceasing. I was listening to Patrick's message talking about the telephone, and I was thinking about an illustration that Stuart Custer would always give on that verse, pray without ceasing. And he said it's kind of like if you're on the phone and somebody comes knocking at the door. And you go to the door and you say, hold on a second, I'll be right back. And start talking to this individual at the door. And then when you're done with the conversation at the door, you come back to the phone. You never really hung up. We should always be in a state of prayer. We should pray all the time, obviously. But the point I'm making here is that Daniel had a set time. I always thought it was good to make sure when you pray, it doesn't help a lot. Now, many times, you know, you say, well, count sheep, and that'll make you go to sleep. Well, one of the things that helps me go to sleep is to pray, because the devil doesn't want me awake. So I'll start praying, and next thing I know, I'm sleeping. But I think it's important to be praying when you're most alert and giving God the best part of your day. And whatever that may be, some people are night people, some people are morning persons, you know, and of course someone said, I'm not a morning person. Well, if you go to a different time zone, that might change, okay? You know, so you get adjusted to that time zone. But the point is, we should see that Daniel had a time to pray. But not only that, he had a place to pray. And it tells us that he went to his chamber toward Jerusalem. Now, Jesus said, and we preached on this, that when thou prayest, enter into thy what? Closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward you openly. So the idea there is finding a place of solitude. And all of us have different things that happen in our lives, and sometimes it's very difficult, especially for mothers with small children, to be able to find a, have a place of solitude. But it is important that we find a place to pray. Now, we're told in Daniel chapter 2 that when the dream, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and that dream, he said, okay, I know, I don't know what the dream is or the interpretation thereof. And he gave it to the magicians to find out, okay, what did I dream? And they said, well, tell us, you know, what's the meaning of this dream? Well, tell us what the dream is. Well, I'm not going to tell you the dream. And then basically he said, okay, you guys are worthless. I'm going to kill y'all. Now, Daniel and his three friends' lives were in danger. So, what did Daniel do? He went to his house. And you look at that in Daniel chapter 2. He went to his house. And apparently, this was a home in which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego resided. And while they were in that house, they prayed. That's chapter 2, verse 17. So you'll find that there was a place. Now here's Daniel, many years later. He's a big shot. He's ahead of the government in many ways. But yet he went to probably the highest level of his house where there would be more privacy, and he had the windows open so that he could be facing Jerusalem, and he found this place to pray. Now, it could be in the front seat of your car. It could be some closet. It could be some little room. I remember when we first started our church, we had our house. I would go and have my devotions right next to the little heater down there, and I would sit next to the heater, and I would do my devotions. But, you know, it's important to do this. Get into the habit of methodically, systematically praying. Now, someone said, well, I pray all the time. Okay, well, tell me what you pray about. Well, sometimes what they're saying is they just think about God every once in a while. And there is a difference between thinking about God and praying to God. So we see his habit of prayer. What was his attitude? Number two, not only his habit of prayer, his attitude in prayer. Now, it's interesting when you study Daniel's prayer, you'll see it was a prayer of reverence. It tells us here that he kneeled upon his knees. Have you ever done a study of how people postured themselves when they pray? I don't have time to go into it. There are several talk about kneeling in prayer. 1 Kings 8:22, we see that Solomon stood in prayer. Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, Jesus says, so you have kneeling, you have standing. You have in Psalm 95:6, where they bowed down in prayer. We have in 2 Samuel 7:18, that they sat before the Lord. They sat and prayed. And we're told that they'd fall on their face, according to Numbers and Joshua and so forth. So we could look at those verses, and we do find that, okay, there's really no special way to pray, but one thing is very clear here. There was a reverence, and there was a submission. And that's a submission of heart that says, God, I am calling on you. We're told that Solomon, when he prayed, he lifted up his hands. We're told in 1 Timothy 2 that holy men lifting up their hands in prayer. That is speaking of dependence. And so when we're praying, it's important that there's reverence. Number two, we also see there was persistence in Daniel's prayer. Chapter 6, verse 11. These men, they finally found Daniel and they found him praying. He was still praying. He was persistent in prayer. We're told that later on in chapters 8 and 9 that Daniel prayed for 3 weeks before the answer came. So to be persistent in prayer, to be thankful in prayer. Look here in chapter 6, verse 10, that 3 times a day prayed and gave thanks. So this is a prayer of thankfulness. And this thankfulness is a practice which I would encourage you every day. And I'm serious about this. Every day, thank God. And when you're thankful, guess what? You're not all bummed out. And Hebert says the practice of thanksgiving is vital for a happy Christian life. For the thankful heart will have no time for murmuring or complaining. And he quotes this poem, when thou hast thanked thy God for every blessing sent, but little time will then remain for murmur and lament. So to be thankful in your prayer. This was his attitude in prayer. Now you say, man, why should he be thankful? They're getting ready to attack him. He's making a stand. If he would have given in, he would have compromised. But He was thankful to God. God knew all things. He was, we see in Daniel's praying that he had confession of sin. If you hold your hand here, go over to chapter 9 and verse 20. And it's interesting regarding Daniel, you'll see very little sin or anything in his life that would make you think that he was not right with God. But yet, we find in Daniel chapter 9 verse 20, "And while I was speaking and praying," and notice what he does, "confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord God." So he confessed his sin, and this is what we ought to be doing. We should always be coming to God with a reality that we need to ask God to forgive us. Have you ever tried to pray and you knew there was sin in your life? Well, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Patrick preached on that, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I'll tell you what Satan would want you to do. He'd say, well, it doesn't do any good to pray. Don't pray. I have a better solution to that. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins, and if he will cleanse you of unrighteousness, then you can pray. Even in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us of our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. We also see in the life of Daniel, there was a prayer of expectancy. Expectancy. He fully believed that God was going to answer his prayer. And we see this in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, where Daniel asked the king, you know, just give us a little bit of time and we'll give you the answer to your dream. Now, he expected God to answer that prayer. And he was rewarded. And we have to pray in faith, don't we? Now, that brings me to the third point. I've got to bring this to a close, the basis for prayer. All right, the basis for prayer. We've looked at the habit of prayer, Daniel's attitude in prayer, but what was Daniel's basis for prayer? Well, a little thing that you'll see in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, if you go there, it says that he opened his windows being open toward Jerusalem. Now, what is the basis for that? Well, because according to 1 Kings chapter 8, 48 and 49, God said, when you are taken into captivity and you are in a foreign country because of your disobedience, if you pray toward Jerusalem, God will answer your prayer. Daniel, what I'm getting at here, desired to be biblical in his praying. One other verse, and I have to quit, is in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus," verse 2, "in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." Where's that at? That's in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 25, 11 and 12. You cross-reference that and you'll see that Daniel studied his Bible. And when he found out that God said, after 70 years, I am going to deliver the children of Israel. Now, someone said, well, it's a done deal. You don't even need to pray about it. That wasn't Daniel's attitude at all. Daniel knew that he had to deal with his sin. He knew the nation needed to deal with their sin. So Daniel sets himself to praying and fasting. And interestingly enough, when he prays, he was praying grounded on the Word of God. Now, this really is something that I've been learning. The reason why we sometimes don't pray in faith is because we're not sure if we're praying according to God's will. Now, we want God's will to help Sandy in her surgery, and we want God's will to help Lorraine's grandmother, and we want God's will to be to help Daniel. We want these things, don't we? There's nothing wrong with that. But have you ever prayed knowing God's will? What does God's Word say? And find out what God says. Pray for that, expecting God to give an answer. 1 John 5, 14-15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition He desired from us, or of Him." So in other words, just as Daniel knew God was going to do this, he could pray with confidence, and he stuck it out for 3 weeks because he knew it was going to happen. And this is somewhat of something that we must get a hold of, and it's something we must keep exploring. And that is the issue of praying according to God's will. I'll close with the story of George Mueller. Now, those of us that are men here, we read the life story of George Mueller. Well, some years, Mueller had the custom of praying first and then reading the Bible, with no special connection between the two. Then he was led to turn the process completely around. After a word of invocation to have the Spirit's teaching, he now spent hours poring over God's Word, filling himself with the living Word of God. In other words, find out what God's Word says, be convinced in it, and say, "Now, God, here you go. God, I don't understand why you're not answering this. You said you'd answer this." You see, Daniel's discipline in prayer, we saw his habit. He had a habit of doing this. So whether it be when no special crisis was coming along or when there was a special crisis, his prayer was already being practiced. We see his attitude in prayer. He reverenced God. He was persistent. He was thankful. He confessed any sin. He expected God to answer that prayer. And it was all based on the Word of God. And here's the question: do we know God's Word so well that we know that He intends to do something? Now, we have to be very careful there. We have to make sure we are walking in God's will. And Daniel's discipline in prayer is so important for us to understand that Daniel had an excellent spirit, and God did a marvelous work in his life. And we can see that God does answer prayer. Now, Lord, we are truly blessed by the preaching and the teaching of your Word. We know that there is so much we don't understand. There are so many things you want to do if we would just ask. You tell us in your Word that sometimes we don't have because we just don't ask. And Father, we ask that you would help us to know the difference between prayer that just simply is based on our selfish impulses and prayer that is based upon your holiness and your Word. And we'll praise you for what you do, for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.